So this mic is on now, and we're going to turn this one on after I turn this down to zero so it doesn't beep at us again. All right. So my name is Abigail Delf, a service learning assistant with the Department of History at Indiana University, Purdue University. Today is June 22nd, 2016, and I am interviewing Helen Abbott at the Indianapolis Red Cross Building. This interview is part of an oral history project to celebrate the Red Cross of Indiana's 100th anniversary. For this project, we are interviewing people who volunteered or worked for, donated to, or were helped by the Red Cross of Indiana. Dr. Philip Scarpino, the director of the Public History Program at Indiana University, Purdue University, is the project supervisor. In 1942, Helen worked for the Indianapolis Insurance Company and state office. In 1943, Helen started nursing training, which led to her earning her RN in 1946. Upon completing her nursing training, Helen worked as a nurse for Dr. R.H. Weishart from 1946 to 1948. In 1948, Helen married Leo E. Abbott and lived in North Salem, Indiana, where she worked in Witham Hospital, Lebanon. In 1955, Helen and her husband purchased a store in Greenwood and named the store Abbott's Men and Boys Shop. Around this time, Helen got involved as a volunteer for the Red Cross by teaching home nursing classes in North Salem, Indiana. From 1955 to 1965, Helen helped run the family business while continuing her service to the Red Cross as a volunteer. From 1965 to 1967, Helen was employed by the Red Cross as instructor of nursing classes, teaching at her local chapter, as well as churches and inner city schools. In 1973, Helen was employed by the Indianapolis Red Cross chapter as an assistant director of nursing. In 1978, Helen became the director of nursing and retired in 1980. From 1980 to 2004, Helen remained a Red Cross volunteer alongside her husband, where she used her talents and service to aid in disaster relief efforts. Helen, before we start, I'd like to ask your permission to record the interview, to transcribe the recording if funding becomes available, and to place the recording and transcriptions, if we make them, in the IEPUI archives and special collections, as well as the American Red Cross of Indiana for the use of their patrons. Do I have your permission?
Yes, you do.
All right, then let's get started. So I'm going to start off by asking you some basic questions. First one is, when were you born?
I was born in August 17, 1923.
All right, and then where were you born?
I was born in what was known as Putnam County or Rochdale, little town Rochdale, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what were your parents' names?
My father's name was Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's name was Ressi, R-E-S-S-I-E.
And then what high school did you attend?
I'm sorry?
What high school did you attend?
North Salem High School.
North Salem High School. And then what were your parents' occupations?
Well, mother was a homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was, probably worked in, we were farmers as well as working in lumber, in industry, mm-hmm. lumber industry.
Okay, and then I received your bio from Terry Bruce, another Red Cross member, a couple days ago, and the resume showed you actually started your involvement with the Red Cross as a volunteer.
Yes.
So you were a woman during World War II, a young woman. Had you gotten involved with the war effort?
Because I was in nurses training, I was busy there,
mm-hmm.
but I did all I could do
mm-hmm.
to help the war effort.
What all did you try to do in the spare time you had?
Well, it was helping out in the community with whatever volunteer work they were doing. I tried to borrow war bonds. I tried to take care of property that I should
mm-hmm.
and in order to make things more profitable for them, to help the boys. Writing letters, keeping in contact with servicemen.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any loved ones serving?
Yes, I did.
And who did you have serving?
Well, it was actually my husband was serving.
Oh,
it was my
okay.
husband then, but it was my boyfriend.
Oh, okay. And what did he
was serve? In the Army.
In the Army.
And he was stationed in the Pacific
mm-hmm.
area.
Okay.
He was gone about 5 years.
What was the time frame? When did he leave and when did he come back?
He enlisted in the National Guard
mm-hmm.
in 41.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back from the Pacific in 45.
Wow. So did the events of World War II play into your desire of giving back through volunteering?
Well, I think so. I think in helping others, that's what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment, a specific moment you remember where you wanted, or you realized that you wanted to get involved in volunteering?
I think I just grew up that way. My parents were very giving
mm-hmm.
and very caring people, and I was raised that way.
In what ways were your parents giving? Like, is there any way, any aspects of your childhood that you remember your parents being an example of giving and teaching you to give back?
Well, it was, I think, in everyday activities.
Mm-hmm.
We attended church,
mm-hmm.
and we learned to give there. And just helping our neighbor as they needed help when we lived on the farm.
So then, did the events of World War II also inspire you to pursue a nursing career?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
So around 1955, you became a Red Cross volunteer and taught home nursing classes in North Salem, Indiana. Why did you start volunteering for the Red Cross specifically?
I was called by someone in the community
mm-hmm.
if I could teach a home nursing class. And I did not have the instruction as such, but I took that in 1953 here at the Red Cross, chapter at
mm-hmm.
that time. So I learned how to be the instructor.
Wow. What training process did you go through?
Sorry?
What training process did you go through to prepared to be a nursing instructor?
Well, we came into the chapter house
mm-hmm.
and we took the instructor course and was given by Juanita Hood. And then after we did that, then we were qualified to teach students who were interested in home nursing. And so we formed a class in North Salem. And matter of fact, we had three classes eventually. Another nurse and I took the course together, and so we taught these mm-hmm. classes.
How long did it take for you to train for to teach those courses?
I want to say about 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
To come in to do that.
So then why were home nursing classes essential for the North Salem, Indiana community?
I'm not sure.
Not sure? That's fine. I just didn't know if there was a need for teaching people back at home during that point.
They really needed that because people were more or less taking care of their own
mm-hmm.
because of the times and the situation. They wouldn't know how to take care of their family in their own home
mm-hmm.
because of financial needs and they could care for them. I think there was a real need.
Mm-hmm. And then what specific responsibilities did this volunteer position entail for you?
Well, it just opened many doors,
mm-hmm.
gave me the opportunity to share my knowledge
mm-hmm.
and to use my skills that I had learned from that and then earlier.
Are there any fond memories you have while volunteering for this position, while you were helping instruct home nursing programs?
Oh, I think so. It was meeting all the people that I had the opportunity to work with and to share with,
mm-hmm.
and besides the students that were in the class, that was quite revealing too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the highlight.
So then now I'm going to ask you a few questions about your employment history prior to working as an employee for the Red Cross.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned at our pre-interview how you helped run a clothing store with your husband called Men and Boys Clothing Abbots.
Mm-hmm.
In your bio, it says you and your husband ran this business from 1955 to 1965.
Right.
So before we get into it, I'm just curious, how did you meet your husband?
How did I meet him?
Mm-hmm.
It was on a blind date. We called it blind date in those days. A friend of mine was dating a man from Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
and he brought my to-be husband with him.
Aww.
And so that was my date.
Aww.
So.
And then how did you go from helping run a business to working for the American Red Cross?
Well, I think in working, there again, dealing with people,
mm-hmm.
we learned how to understand people better and how to progress in our business.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still in the caring and sharing and giving that kept me in Red mm-hmm. Cross.
Do you think having the experience of taking part in running a business prepared you for the work you would do for the American Red Cross?
Oh, I think so.
In what ways?
Well, I could be more understanding,
mm-hmm.
more caring, more giving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Red Cross is about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it was helped me to be prepared to serve as I was called to do so.
Did your husband have the same passion to serve and care for others?
Well, I think his was a little bit different attitude, and I think after we retired,
mm-hmm.
he could see what it meant to me, and he wanted to be a part of that. And I think being in the service,
mm-hmm.
he knew how kind it was when he was helped by the Red Cross
mm-hmm.
in the field.
How do you think you two differed from wanting to serve? Like, you wanted to serve through like caring and sharing with people. How did he differ in wanting to do that?
Maybe a payback. That's not a good word, but maybe a return thank you.
Oh, okay.
For what they did for him, and then then being together, we really wanted to share together after being apart.
Yeah. So then you also worked as a nurse before you worked for the Red Cross. How did your skills as a nurse transition to your work as a Red Cross employee?
I think I continued even though I was working for the doctors,
mm-hmm.
I still continued, I think, in serving Red Cross whenever it was possible. Sometimes I didn't have a lot of time, but I would encourage anyone that to take courses and to be involved in Red Cross.
So then do you believe that you would have still gotten involved with the Red Cross had you not been a certified nurse in the beginning?
Probably. I think when the people came to me for a course,
mm-hmm.
I felt the need that I needed to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was exposed to Red Cross in my training by a Red Cross volunteer who taught the first aid class. So I was more aware of Red Cross because of that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned how you felt that you needed to get involved when they came to you and asked you to help mm-hmm. with the program. What made you want to get involved specifically? What made you realize I need to get involved with this?
Well, being in this small community,
mm-hmm.
there isn't a lot of ways that you can reach people. Sometimes they're very silent with mm-hmm. their needs, but this I thought was an opportunity for me to open my door to maybe I could share some of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my plan to
So that knit-tie community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only about 500 in the community, so it was very small.
Mm-hmm. So the Red Cross was very important in North Salem, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You had an employment history prior to working for the Red Cross. Fulfillment is important but somewhat intangible quality of any job. How would you compare your sense of fulfillment or job satisfaction between the Red Cross and your prior employment before you worked for the Red Cross?
I was still involved, mm-hmm. even though I was working for the doctor. Because after we closed the store,
mm-hmm.
then I came back to Red Cross for a couple of years as on staff,
mm-hmm.
as a teaching instructor, because I had had that past experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Would you say, let me rephrase it a little bit, would you say that you found your work working as an employee for the Red Cross more fulfilling than your prior jobs you had?
It was fulfilling
mm-hmm.
In a different way.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, a way that I think I always serve people because that was part of the profession
mm-hmm.
to be that. But I think the connection I had with friends and people at Red Cross was different than patient.
Would you say then that the previous jobs you held kind of were stepping stones to you reaching?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably so. I might not have realized that, but at the time.
Mm-hmm. So then from 1943 to 1946, you trained to be a nurse.
Yes.
Where exactly did you train?
A Methodist hospital here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. What were your strengths during your nursing training?
Well, my strengths were, especially I enjoyed surgery, was my favorite, and pediatrics, I was interested in that. Mm-hmm. Those were probably my strongholds.
What would you say were some challenges you faced during your training?
Well, rephrase that. Can you say it again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What were some of your challenges you faced during your training as a nurse?
Well, I would say, of course, your studies were a challenge,
mm-hmm.
as you. And again, as we served on each of the floors, we were evaluated,
mm-hmm.
and that was a challenge that I would be evaluated satisfactorily.
Did you have a way to overcome those challenges?
Yes, as I progressed in years, you sort of began to understand where your weaknesses were, where you needed to improve on your mm-hmm. on your work.
So then, was there a significant point in your training that confirmed your desire to be a nurse? Kind of a point in your training where you were thinking, yes, I'm supposed to be here?
Oh yes, I think so. I think so. Probably even after the first year, but especially in your junior year,
mm-hmm.
then you began to realize that
mm-hmm.
that was what you needed to do.
Were there other activities or jobs you were involved in while going through nursing training?
Not a great involvement, because during the nurses' training, it was 3 full years, and we were busy,
mm-hmm.
winter, summer, and there wasn't a lot of time to be involved in other things.
So
church work, I was always in that.
So it was one of those activities where you had to throw yourself completely in it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Upon completing your nursing training, you worked as a nurse for Dr. R.H. Weishart from 1946 to 1948.
Yes.
What did your responsibilities consist of while serving as his nurse?
I was often a nurse who admitted patients,
mm-hmm.
Did the pre-exam, pre-test on them, and then kept all the equipment in order, ready mm-hmm. to be used as needed, kept the office equipment, I think, clean and in order, ready to whatever he needed. I was there to serve him and to be kind to patients.
What was a typical work day for you? What did your what was a daily work day like?
Well, it was probably, let's see, like you mean from 8 to 5 or
mm-hmm.
something like that?
Yeah,
probably that would be the hours that we worked, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes we worked on Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
but basically it was through the week. We didn't have extended hours, so to speak, but we did have that full day.
Mm-hmm. And so you continued to work for him until 1948. What made you leave this job in 1948?
Well, we got married because
mm-hmm.
he had waited about 10 years.
Your husband, Leo?
Yeah. And so he thought it was time that we were married. So we did.
Nursing is a job that takes a lot of patience, talent,
yes.
and compassion for others. What exactly inspired you to be a nurse?
Actually, it was probably a doctor friend that had done my surgery on an appendectomy in earlier years, but I was at the point in my life that I either was going to go in the service,
mm-hmm.
it was wartime, and I felt I needed to serve the country or do something,
mm-hmm.
Not enlist, but do something. So then my parents suggested that I might go talk to my doctor friend
mm-hmm.
and see what he thought, and he would like for me to go there. He, of course, was on staff at Methodist. And I was working for the state at that time, and it was a big decision. I had passed the test and had a job at this was the state office, and it was hard for me to make my decision to stop that and go into nurse's training.
So that was a big leap you took?
That was a big leap. That was a hard one.
What was this doctor's name who...
Dr. Gabe.
Dr. Gabe. And what year was this when you took the test to get into the nursing school?
Well, probably I was working for them, so that would have been 43, probably 42, mm-hmm. something like that. And then I took the test to enter school, and I was in the summertime, and then I went in school in August. So mm-hmm. it was...
So you decided you wanted to get involved and help people with the war going on, mm-hmm. And you didn't exactly know how. So mm-hmm. you went mm-hmm. to talk to Dr. Gabe, and he was the one who inspired you to become a nurse.
Mm-hmm. By my parents.
By your parents.
And they wanted me to do whatever I was happy to do.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really want me to join the Navy, but I thought about it.
Oh, really?
And they said, well, think about it really strongly. Mm-hmm. So, because Leo was in the Army.
What made you exactly not want to join the Navy?
That would have been probably late 42, mm-hmm. going, let's see, it would have been the summer of 43. Probably early 43.
Mm-hmm. I think somebody's just hanging around outside. Okay. But what made you not want to join the Navy?
Going away from
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
I was young. It was hard to... I knew I'd be sent overseas, probably.
Mm-hmm. Going into nursing training, were you expecting to be sent overseas as a nurse?
If the war hadn't ended,
mm-hmm.
and I graduated in August, and the war ended, it was I wasn't drafted. I would have been drafted.
Oh, wow. So you were going in there... not knowing what was going to happen.
But that was what was the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go anyway, so.
Yeah.
But it ended, and by then I didn't have that desire because the war was, the big part of the war was over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be coming home. So I knew I could help here, but not mm-hmm. not go there.
So then how does serving as a nurse correlate with the Red Cross's mission?
Well, it basically is similar mm-hmm. in the giving and caring and serving.
Mm-hmm.
And you do all of those in both of them. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It just in, like, in your own words, how is your career of nursing, how does that correlate with the Red Cross's mission?
Yeah. Well, I think so. The knowledge that I gained from the training
mm-hmm.
and the ability to work and to do, I was equipped, maybe
mm-hmm.
better equipped to do some of the things for Red Cross.
And then would you say you made a difference through being a nurse?
I'd say big difference, yeah.
What was it like being a nurse in the 1940s?
Well, it was sort of lonely in a way because your friends were probably overseas
mm-hmm.
and we had to work a lot. I mean, there was a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Either we didn't work, of course I was in training in part of that time, but I was employed before in early 40s
mm-hmm.
After I got out of high school and until I went into training. So I had a job, worked all the time. And then I, did that answer the question?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Was it specifically being, like playing a female role, pursuing a career like that in the 1940s, what was that like?
Well, it was different because at that time, other women were involved in other activities,
mm-hmm.
other work fields
mm-hmm.
because they were doing the work, the men that were away, and so it was a different type of work.
Mm-hmm.
They were serving just the same, but it was we were serving people rather than maybe in the factories or something, but mm-hmm. it was all important at that time. And we felt the need, women felt the need to be employed and to be trained.
What was that like, just being around that, being involved in a time period where women were going from kind of staying at home and helping around, being the people in charge of the house, to going out and getting careers while the men were over? What was that like?
It was just different. Mm-hmm. They became more independent mm-hmm. because they had to. Because some of them had families and children, mm-hmm. and they had to worry about the care of the family, plus their working time. Mm-hmm. It was strange being in that period with when men were gone and mm-hmm. women were caring for the families and making the way.
So then, now I'm going to ask you some questions about getting involved as an employee with the Red Cross. And then to remind the listeners, Helen had already volunteered with the Red Cross from 1955 to 1965. So this is after you had volunteered and you actually started working for the Red Cross. So from 1965 to 1967, you were employed by the Red Cross as instructor of nursing classes, teaching at your local chapter as well as churches and inner city schools. For the sake of clarity for the listeners, did you work as a nursing instructor for the Indianapolis Red Cross chapter or
yes.
in Salem? It was the Indianapolis Red Cross?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what made you transition then from working at the North Salem chapter to Indianapolis?
I worked in Indianapolis only.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't work at North. They didn't have a chapter.
Okay.
See, I was just after I had taken the training and taught the classes, mm-hmm. then I came to work after we sold the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to work for Red Cross on staff for mm-hmm. 2 years.
Okay. So then North Salem didn't have a specific chapter in there,
no,
but
no,
you had.
No.
When you had done the nursing training programs in the houses,
a lady called in and wanted would like to have the classes,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't know how to go about it.
Okay, so that came from the Indianapolis.
That came, and then I was trained here
mm-hmm.
in Indianapolis.
Okay,
I called in Red Cross to see what they had to offer, and they had an instructor class, and so that's how I got started with that. But I was. Work on staff here only, and no,
mm-hmm.
no chapter there.
What made you want to go and actually work for the Red Cross rather than volunteer?
Well, when we sold the store,
mm-hmm.
then we both went to work. We both went to work, my husband and I both. And so that happened to be open.
Mm-hmm.
I had a call to come here to work, so I did.
So you were offered a position?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who offered it to you?
Oh, I don't know.
I
don't really remember that.
And that's fine. Why do you believe you were chosen for this position?
Maybe because of that I had, of what I had done before,
mm-hmm.
that I taught before, and maybe whatever they were pleased with the result of those, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. And then had being a volunteer help you find employment with the Red Cross?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would really be very helpful, yes.
What made you want to start working as an employee for the Red Cross? I know I kind of asked this a bit earlier, but it's a differently phrased question.
Well, I just think that, when we sold the store,
mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to work, so I think I just, to start there, I think that's where I needed to start,
mm-hmm.
to find, I didn't know where I wanted to work at that point because we'd been there 10 years. And this was an opportunity, and they invited me to come and work there as a nursing instructor.
And what were your responsibilities as an instructor of nursing?
Was to help in getting classes organized,
mm-hmm.
and in be sure I had the proper equipment and the proper place,
mm-hmm.
wherever it might be in the community, and always have someone to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that kind of responsibility. So
So then, kind of like what I asked with the doctor's office, what was a typical work day for you as a nursing instructor? Like, what were daily responsibilities you had to do?
At the doctor's office?
Not at the doctor's office, for the nursing instructor position at the Red Cross. I just asked you the similar question.
Okay.
For the doctor's office.
Of course, I'd already taken the training, mm-hmm. you know, for the instructor. And then anytime there was another course or an addition to the one I was taking, I would take that course from an instructor who was already on staff at the Red mm-hmm. Cross or that was a trained instructor. Eventually, I was trained in all the courses, but at that point, I had to be retrained if there was something new. Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And then how did your responsibilities for instructor of nursing differ from serving as a nurse in a doctor's office?
Well, you didn't, you weren't always teaching the patients new things or different things or how to do things. You took care of them,
mm-hmm.
and you did the things that were necessary, but it was a different process of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of their health was different than actually teaching procedures,
mm-hmm.
I'd say.
And so what were some challenges you faced as an instructor of nursing?
Well, your clientele, for one thing. you have all kinds of people that are interested in taking the course, and you need to learn how to cope mm-hmm. with each personality and to help them to learn.
And then what were some fond memories of being an instructor for nursing?
I found that most of them were very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They appreciated what they learned,
mm-hmm.
and they were good attendance. I didn't have any problem with that. And they still remember. And we had some good times, you know, we learned together, so.
Is there a specific memory you have that you'd like to share about being a nursing instructor that comes to mind?
Nothing particular other than sometimes I didn't have a patient.
Mm-hmm.
Someone didn't want to be a patient, so my son would go. And he was about 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I so remember some of the members of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And how they reacted to some of your teaching, and he was a bed patient. So we always have fond memories of this. He always say, I was your patient.
What year was your son born?
He was born in 51.
And then how many children did you have?
One.
What was his name?
GB. He's named with the initials. GB.
G
and a B. Mm-hmm.
Was he heavily involved with the Red Cross like you were?
Not only that he was my helper.
Mm-hmm. How often did he serve as your helper?
I'd say at least probably once a month when he was, you know, during those kinds of classes.
Mm-hmm.
But he often helped with equipment and helping to get everything together.
Mm-hmm.
That would package at the Red Cross chapter, but they were in baskets, and so he would help carry the baskets.
Aww. Would you say that helps strengthen your relationship with him?
Oh, I think so. Mm-hmm. He remembers it so well. I'd been lost without him.
Aww. You worked as a nursing instructor. Were there specific skill sets you gained from your previous employment history that helped you in your new job?
I think mostly in understanding people,
mm-hmm.
and dependability. I knew that I was responsible for what I was doing, and I learned that from the doctor's office as well as from nursing.
Mm-hmm. And then in 1973, you were employed by the Indianapolis Red Cross chapter as an assistant director of nursing. What work had you completed between 1967, the last year you worked as an instructor for the Red Cross nursing classes, and 1973, before you worked as an assistant director of nursing? So what were you doing in that gap?
I was in a doctor's office,
mm-hmm.
and I was with a dermatologist, two doctors, and they did quite a lot of surgery, which I That was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really managing the office,
mm-hmm.
so I learned a lot of managing, dealing with people, with part of the business part of it, as well as with the patients.
So you were, in a way, helping run a doctor's office,
mm-hmm.
and did you assist in surgeries?
Mm-hmm.
I could never do that.
I did.
That's yeah. amazing. It sounds like you were doing a whole lot of things.
I was, and
mm-hmm.
it was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed. I'll tell you later.
What led to you earning and accepting the position as assistant director of nursing?
What was the first part?
What led you to earning and accepting the position as assistant director of nursing?
The doctors I worked for moved to 8800 North,
mm-hmm.
and I live in Greenwood, and my husband didn't really want me to drive that distance, especially in the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to leave, but I felt that I, because of safety purposes, I needed to do that. So I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was this position opened at the time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it was perfect timing.
it just worked out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends and they knew the situation and they said, I think there's an opening there. So I checked in and there was, so.
So did you hold other nursing positions outside of the Red Cross while also being a Red Cross employee?
No, not really.
And then what were your different responsibilities as an assistant director of nursing?
There again, it was helping the director
mm-hmm.
in any of the procedures that she had or any of the scheduling. We had meetings and we had classes, and there again, I was responsible for
mm-hmm.
setting up the classes
mm-hmm.
and seeing that everything was in order for that.
So then, what was a typical work day for you as an assistant?
Ordinarily, it was 8:15 to 4:15, I believe it was. But if we had a disaster or if we had a shelter,
mm-hmm.
it's just as long as we were there. In case of snow, if we were snowbound, we were there a
mm-hmm.
long time. But we often would work extra hours in case of disasters or something of that nature.
So your position was serving kind of as the Red Cross nurse for disaster reliefs, providing that medical response?
Probably,
mm-hmm.
or recruiting nurses
mm-hmm.
to do this. I usually stayed in the office,
mm-hmm.
but I was responsible to help in
your
recruiting.
Job was to make sure nurses were there to,
mm-hmm.
okay.
to be sure it was covered with whatever help was necessary.
Did you enjoy this job as assistant director of nursing more than your previous job you held with the Red Cross?
Well, I think it was more enjoyable, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In what ways was it more enjoyable?
In there was different responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all in teaching. I did teach a lot, but it was other things involved as well as. I think that's why I enjoyed it more.
Mm-hmm. So then today the Red Cross operates by providing humanitarian relief through offering aid to other nations in the midst of disasters, providing disaster reliefs within the United States, donating blood, providing resources to United States soldiers and their families, and preparing people for states of emergency. As you look back to the period that you were an employee of the Red Cross, around 1965 to 1980, how was the Red Cross organized at the time you first began working as an employee?
No.
I know that's a huge question, but for you specifically, what do you remember that's different from how it's organized today?
Well, nursing, per se, was a unit in itself, it was that was part of Red Cross. And I think today, then it developed into health and safety and combined the health part of it with the safety and teaching those kind of classes mm-hmm. in that respect. So it was different then. We had more nursing mm-hmm. activities, I think, perhaps. I'm not saying that there was more,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed as though we were involved mm-hmm. in a different way with the nursing procedures.
Would you say, as opposed to currently, the Red Cross was more involved back then in community, or would you say that stayed the same?
I can't really answer that now, but we were definitely involved in mm-hmm. the community very much.
Mm-hmm.
But having been away since 2004,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of all their community involvements. I know they are involved, but I don't know. I couldn't compare them.
And then how did the Red Cross's organization evolve over the years you were involved? Was there any significant changes that were made during your time from when you first started to when you left?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. They were beginning, the nursing department was beginning to change.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see that. I was gone before they changed that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know in what ways they ended up changing?
Well, as I say, I think it was a combination
mm-hmm.
when it went into the health and safety services. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there because I was away.
Mm-hmm. And then at our pre-interview, you said you served as a nurse and the Red Cross was in desperate need for certified nurses when you first started. Can you describe the situation, why the Red Cross was needing more certified nurses? And I think this was when you were doing the home nursing, you brought this up.
Other than the Red Cross involvement nationwide
mm-hmm.
was probably different
mm-hmm.
because there was more need for that sort of, that type of training, that type of nurses, where they would be qualified in a different way,
mm-hmm.
specialized.
So then, were there particular opportunities you had working as a nurse for the Red Cross that you did not have working in doctor's offices?
Well, there would have been several different things that I had the opportunity. We were able to be assigned to working with the public, doing work carrying a message about Red Cross to the public,
mm-hmm.
which was good. I enjoyed that. We did quite a bit of that. And we were involved with, we were involved with the 500 track and the 500 parade and mm-hmm. just several things that really brought us, I think brought Red Cross to the community to know it was available.
So you say you were involved in the 500 track. Can you talk about that?
We did the selling of programs
mm-hmm.
out there for the Brickyard 400.
Brickyard 400.
And that was quite an interesting endeavor to do that.
And what year was that? Or the range, or?
Oh, let's see. I don't know. I might have a, wait a minute, let me look.
Okay.
Nineteen ninety-five.
Mm-hmm. So what all entailed for that?
We,
Sorry, that's the microphone. You're fine. It's still working.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's totally fine. Oh, so this is the picture of mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Brickyard, 1995.
Mm-hmm. And then on the back, I think there's a picture where we had the one of the vans out and some of the celebrities were out there then, but we did that, and got to be in the 500 parade once.
Oh wow!
I was Clara Barton.
So what was the purpose of the Red Cross being involved in the 500?
Well, that was a fundraiser.
A fundraiser?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was.
To raise for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, this was the parade.
Oh, that looks like a lot of fun.
We had a good time. And then they offered first aid at the state fair.
Mm-hmm.
They still do.
Yeah, and I actually have a couple questions about that, which we'll get to at the end.
Okay.
Because I remember you briefly mentioning your involvement with the state fair at our last interview, so I made sure at the end of the interview to incorporate questions about that.
Okay.
So were there particular Oh, I already asked this question. did you hold the same position until 1980, or did you hold other positions between that time period?
The director of nursing retired in 78.
In 78.
And they moved me to her position then for the 2 years till 80. Then I retired in 80.
Okay. So you said at our pre-interview that you were a part of the Red Cross when the Red Cross of Indianapolis's home was in a mansion. Do you remember mentioning that at our pre-interview? Terry mentioned one of the girls that you volunteered or worked with sliding down the rails.
I don't remember that right now.
If not, that's okay. We'll come back to that later. Or I can just ask Terry yet. Or do you remember?
Not
really. I'll go ahead and ask her at her interview.
Okay. I have to think about that.
In 1978, you went from assistant director of nursing to the director of nursing until you retired in 1980, like you previously stated. What led you to being promoted again?
The former director retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then she suggested that I become the director.
So then how did your responsibilities shift after you became a director of nursing for the Indianapolis Red Cross?
Well, at that point, you're responsible for the activities that is placed in that department, and you learn to delegate your work to people who are willing to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just that you assume that responsibility.
Were there any challenges you faced in this new position?
Not any different, really, than being the assistant. I think things were pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we were responsible for supplying nurses as needed again, and
mm-hmm.
and that was our goal, to provide help as
mm-hmm.
as requested.
And then, what were major activities you were a part of or led as the director of nursing?
Mostly classes,
mm-hmm.
which nursing classes was, and being involved in the community as needed. But I think.
What were major events you were a part of or led? Oh, do I have this copied? I have the same question copied twice.
I didn't do well on the other
one. So let's see here. Were there any natural disaster relief efforts that you were part of as an employee?
Not really. Not going out. I often was involved in the chapter house itself
mm-hmm.
when we had shelters.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved there, and I did go on a flood down in English, Indiana. I did go down there for actually, it was observation as well as
mm-hmm.
being sure that everything was under control.
So, and I actually got questions about this, the Great Flood in 1979. I'll get that in like a couple minutes though. 1979, the English Flood in Crawford County.
That would be Terry.
Oh, it was Terry? Okay. So then you served as an employee for the American Red Cross of Indiana for around 15 years. What are some of your fondest memories while being an employee for the Red Cross?
A I think that mostly I enjoyed the work, of course,
mm-hmm.
but the people who were employees, as well as the activities such as when we'd have volunteer recognitions,
mm-hmm.
and we'd also have honors given to the firemen and
mm-hmm.
all of those sorts of events that were community wide,
mm-hmm.
that helped people, and people were always happy about that. But those are the kind of things I think that made it really worth
mm-hmm.
worthwhile besides your work.
Mm-hmm. So then what are some lessons you learned specifically from being an employee with the Red Cross?
I think probably understanding people,
mm-hmm.
probably willing to be of help, to serve, and to recognize other people when they have accomplished something very important.
So then you mentioned that you set up shelters for this flood that happened in Englishtown.
There were shelters,
uh-huh. What year was that? Open
it. I don't know. I don't. Well, it would have been probably 79.
Yeah. I actually have articles here. Before we move on to our next topic, I actually wanted to cover the flood, the disaster that occurred in Crawford County or Englishtown, and it says 1979 from the research I did.
Well,
at our pre-interview, you'd briefly mentioned a great flood that occurred in Englishtown, Indiana.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay.
So for the sake of context, I'm actually going to read a summary of this natural disaster from an article from Clarion News dated August 12, 2009, when they were looking back on the flood.
Okay.
So on Thursday, June 7th, 1979, a heavy rain set in, and over the next 36 hours, 9.5 inches of rain fell in the English Marganio area. Then, early on the following Saturday morning, more than 4 inches of rain fell in less than 3 hours. The creeks and streams, already full from heavy downpours the two previous evenings, came out of their banks and began to fill the streets of both towns. In English, it was believed to be the worst flood since 1959. Along Brandywine Creek in Margano, the water reached its highest level in history, and it was the first time English had seen water on Main Street since a creek widening project was completed in 1961. Poe Lumber Incorporated in Margano was hit by a huge wall of water at about 7 o'clock that Saturday morning. Truckloads of lumber and building materials were carried away by the water. Minutes later, water climbed over the bridge at the south end of the business district, and within 5 minutes, it was in every business in the town area except Beale's Department Store and Margano State Bank. Whiskey Run Creek came out of its banks and flooded the old town minutes later, and water was 8 feet deep over the bridge where the two creeks met. And then the losses ended up being great for this town. The article goes on to explain the Crawford County Library lost more than 30,000 of its 33,500 books. An estimated 125 homes were flooded by the deluge, with depths ranging from a few inches at the higher spots up to the eaves in the western end of town. Several mobile homes were moved by the water and destroyed. Only a handful of the flooded homes were insured. Many businesses were also uninsured. So this was a tragic time for the people of Crawford County.
Mm-hmm.
What was the nature of the Red Cross's involvement to provide natural disaster relief to them?
And I know they opened shelters
mm-hmm.
and provided food too. So, and that town was moved to a higher hill after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
It was replaced. But it was something to see. I mean, it was just so
mm-hmm.
devastating. Just.
And what was the nature of your involvement?
Mostly, when I went down, I just went down to be sure that we had the nursing
mm-hmm.
area covered, that the patients were being taken care of that needed help, that would come in with injuries, and that sort of thing. And if we need, if there needed to be any kind of medicine that we needed or that was rendered, we was responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, I wasn't there very long, but I did go down and to see, meet our needs.
And what were some obstacles the Red Cross faced while assisting this county?
I probably can't answer that.
And that's fine.
No, Terry can.
Okay. So Terry knows about it. Was she involved in it?
Well, she would have been in the front office.
Mm-hmm. So then, what were the Red Cross's major successes in providing relief and assistance to the county? Do you know?
Well, the only thing I would know is that I could tell when I was there of the people who came in and how grateful they were for assistance, either with whatever we had to offer, the food or the, especially I know someone had hurt his foot and we were able to bandage him and give him a temporary shoe effect, and I know how grateful they were that we were there to help them.
So then at our pre-interview, you explained how during the natural disaster you were serving as a nurse for the Red Cross, and you told me after the flooding you had wanted very badly to go on the field and provide more aid on the field. However, the executive of the Indiana Red Cross, John Russell, had wanted you to stay behind and work in the office.
Yeah.
Why did John Russell desire for you to stay behind as opposed to going out on the field?
Well, I think it was in order that we could recruit nurses and recruit helpers that could go. And as long as I was there, there was someone to operate the office. I think he felt like it was just important that I be there for that purpose.
To manage home base?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you leave it uncovered, it gets in trouble sometimes.
So how did you feel about this request when he asked you to stay behind?
It was fine. I knew that my responsibility was there. And whatever he felt was necessary, that was my duty.
And then do you believe that you were still able to make a difference despite staying behind at the office?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
In what ways do you think you were able?
We could encourage the people who were willing to help. We could encourage them. Because, well, I'd been there for one reason, and then knowing that it was very worthwhile, that they go and do what they can do, and people were willing to do this.
So then in the midst of providing disaster relief to Crawford County, you were a nurse and stayed at home base to get work done. What was the nature of your work at this time during this natural disaster?
I think we're really just to be sure that whatever the schedule was in the office, in the department, was fulfilled, as well as the need, meeting the need of the people involved in the disaster.
No, that's awesome that you were so heavily involved in all of that, and you were able to kind of be the leader back at home base and organize all of that. Were there any specific challenges that you faced with your position?
I don't remember any that was specific.
Well, that's good.
They're all kind of.
So, and I know you touched on this a little bit, but just for clarity, for the sake of the listener, I'm going to go ahead and ask it again. What specific projects did you work on that dealt with the flooding in Crawford County?
I feel that it was necessary to be sure that the department in Indianapolis, everything was covered and everything was provided for the people that were here that needed our assistance, as well as providing helpers or help for the people there in English. That one.
No, you're doing totally fine. It's just a conversation we're having. I'm not looking for a right answer.
Oh, okay.
Is there anything you would have done differently to manage the natural disaster relief?
Not that I recall. You wish you could do more, but you can't do more than's feasible.
Mm-hmm. So then, how has managing natural disaster reliefs changed since you first began with the Red Cross? So when you first began with the Red Cross, 1955 as a volunteer, how did it change by the time you left in 2004?
Well, the procedures, some of the procedures would be different.
Mm-hmm.
The clientele would be different at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It changed a lot. And they would have learned new things that would be more beneficial as the years went on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything.
No, you're good. And we're actually going to move on to another topic of questions.
Okay.
So now I'm going to shift the topic and start out by asking you general questions about volunteering.
Okay.
So you transitioned from an employee to volunteer after retiring in 1980. What made you want to continue to serve with the Red Cross as a volunteer?
Because the friendships I had made and the experiences I had were very rewarding,
mm-hmm.
and I felt there was a lot yet to be done, that if maybe I could do some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to continue on, and my husband wanted to do something together.
Mm-hmm.
And we took a mission trip and did some building in Texas on the churches.
What year was that?
That was in 1980, right after we retired.
Mm-hmm.
We went in 80 and 81, and we didn't know much about carpentering, but we learned.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to roof and how to do all kinds of things. But it was very rewarding for these people, for church, for them to
mm-hmm.
have work on. And then we decided we wanted to do in missions somewhere. So I was still involved in Red Cross. And so they invited us to come, invited Leo to come, and we'd do something together. And so we started serving.
So the mission trip inspired you to start volunteering with the Red Cross?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Was there a key event that inspired you in your life to give back your time besides that moment that you mentioned?
I think sometimes in going into these disaster areas
mm-hmm.
makes you well aware of the need that and that you can help.
Were mm-hmm. there any experiences in your life that compelled you to volunteer for the American Red Cross that you would like to mention?
Just the requests we had
mm-hmm.
that I was needed was the main reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, then you learn that there's something for you to do.
So. So the humanitarian mission of the Red Cross is focused in five core areas: disaster cycle, blood services, health and safety, services to the armed forces, and international services. Can you describe the nature of your work as a volunteer and in which of these sectors you served?
Well, let's see. I was involved in the blood program.
Mm-hmm.
What else was there?
Health and safety.
Yes, that would be.
Well, you were involved in health and safety?
It was nursing.
Mm-hmm.
But
nursing,
health and safety would be, yes.
And then it was services to the armed forces, international services, and disaster cycle.
Well, the disasters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the service. Well, we had a unit in the Red Cross that serviced to military
mm-hmm.
men, so we were involved in that. Nursing, not as serving there, but we were helping them if they needed whatever help they needed. But we. They still have that. You still have that.
Mm-hmm. So you helped with the armed forces, like providing?
Not really that much.
Okay.
Not that much.
But then, as a volunteer, you were involved in the blood services.
Mm-hmm.
What was the nature of that?
Well, what we did, Indiana has their own blood center. So we didn't compete with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we would help There was the VA hospital. Some of those would go into prisons and for blood draws, and we would go with them, with the nurses. General Hospital and some of the hospitals went in, so we would volunteer to go in to help when they would draw blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my own church, I set up blood draws for one Red Cross, but it was because of that, I suppose. But I had several blood drives at the church for.
So then for disaster cycles, and I already know health and safety because you were a nurse, uh-huh. heavily involved even as a volunteer. What exactly did he do for the disaster cycle as a volunteer?
Worked mostly in the shelters mm-hmm. that were set up because of the disasters.
So for the specific volunteering you did, were you able to choose your assignments, or were they assigned to you?
Usually they were assigned because people, we had to work with the people that could get there mm-hmm. in case of a snowstorm or whoever was able to make the trip to the chapter house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were assigned according to the need, to meet the need. It was nursing if that was, you know, feasible. We needed that. We always were ready to help in that area, but we did other things. We helped with food or whatever was necessary.
And then you started volunteering for the Red Cross in 1980 after you retired.
Uh-huh.
What was the first job you completed as a Red Cross volunteer in 1980?
That might have been that parade. I think it was the parade. 81.
81, yeah.
I maybe taught classes, I don't remember, but
mm-hmm.
we did that, and I did that in 81.
You did the Indy 500 parade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where you were Clara Burton.
Yeah, dear Clara. Well, she was the founder, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Then we you're not asking that. I'm sorry.
Oh no, feel free.
At the convention that we had in '86, I was Clara Barton again, and then this is the president as handing us a treaty for the Red Cross, and they spotlighted it so.
And what year was that?
That was, I think that was 86.
That was fun.
We had a good time.
Did you do a lot of reenactments like that?
Yeah.
So you volunteered for the Red Cross from 1980 to around 2004. During your time, did you form any meaningful relationships with other members of the organization?
Yes, sure.
Are there any that stick out that you want to talk about?
Oh, it just seemed there were so many friends that we made, and
mm-hmm.
those kind of memories are very precious.
And then you started volunteering for the Red Cross in 1980 after retiring, but you also had volunteered for the Red Cross from 1955 to 1965 mm-hmm. while you were helping run yours and your husband's business. When you first began as a volunteer around 1955, what system was used to manage the volunteers? Do you remember?
Of course, then I was the instructor for these classes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not just if someone was helping, just to advise us.
Mm-hmm.
As to what to do, that sort of thing. Or if I needed something, then to know the source, where to go to find it. But
so then how did that change when you returned to volunteer in 1980?
I was more responsible then. Before, I was someone else took care of me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else helped me to help me find what I needed and how to get it and what mm-hmm. to do and to arrange the classes.
Mm-hmm.
But they would people would call into the chapter house for scheduling a class, mm-hmm. and then they'd call an instructor, like they'd call, would you be able to do this course, whatever date? And if you could, then they'd schedule, the people would call in to make, like it'd be a church group, mm-hmm. and they'd have a list of maybe 20 people, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And that was in 1980?
That would have been, yes, because it would have been taken care of in the office. They would schedule mm-hmm. the classes.
So it was
office.
More it was more organized by the time you returned as a volunteer.
Yeah. Because I was, mm-hmm. before I was just sort of, just the instructor, they sent me where I needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some of the classes were held at the chapter house, mm-hmm. which was convenient for me to drive into the chapter.
So then you've been a volunteer for the Red Cross for a total of around 30, 35 years. If you could change one or two aspects about how the organization's leaders manage their volunteers, what would you change?
I don't have a specific answer for that. I just, I think being very understanding and mm-hmm. helpful for the volunteers makes such a difference, and appreciate what they do. They're giving their time and effort, energy,
mm-hmm.
and I think we need to be more appreciative of that. So.
And then after volunteering with the Red Cross for almost 35 years, do you believe you made a difference as a volunteer for the organization?
I hope so. I'd like to think that I did.
In what ways do you think you made a difference?
Well, in helping them to learn mm-hmm. to do the things that they wanted to learn, mm-hmm. to know how to do it, and making them feel more confident mm-hmm. in their lives. And when they had people in their home that needed care, they could take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or in an emergency, they knew what to do as best I could teach them. So
then volunteering for any organization requires setting aside extra time to do so. How did you organize your life to be able to volunteer for the Red Cross?
Well, it takes a lot of planning to meet their time schedule as well as yours. But I felt like there was some way there was time.
Mm-hmm.
There's time for everything if you can plan it, if mm-hmm. you can really work at it and make it work. So I felt that was part of my duty, was to make it work. So
it's just kind of making sure you set that time aside.
Just fit it in, yeah. Squeeze it in.
So then you mentioned at our pre-interview that you volunteered with your husband, Leo, throughout the years in the Red Cross. In fact, you told me there was an award named after you two called the Leo and Helen Abbott Award. For the sake of whoever may be listening to this interview, can you explain the qualifications for being given this award?
It is given to families, it's called a family, like man and wife or man and children,
mm-hmm.
but it's a family volunteer award. And that's how we received ours, because we had worked as a team for many years, and then we received this award mm-hmm. that was named for us. So.
And then what all did you and your husband accomplish during your time as volunteers of the Red Cross to have this kind of honor bestowed on you both?
Well, we were willing to, when they called and had an assignment, if we could plan it all in our schedule, we did this. And we were always rewarded for the experience. And we had the opportunity to go to several places and to visit different organizations and to be a part of the community. So it was very pleasant.
Did your husband encourage you to volunteer?
Yes, he did. After a while.
What are some of your fondest memories you had while volunteering with your husband?
Well, I think some of the places that we visited, mm-hmm. some of the assignments that we had were most rewarding,
mm-hmm.
because we visited different businesses, different areas in the community, just all sorts of opportunities to share
mm-hmm.
and to represent Red Cross. And I hope we did a good job.
Do you have a favorite event you volunteered with your husband?
I loved them all. we just had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
We really did, and we enjoyed it. And he was great at it. I mean, he made a good volunteer, so
mm-hmm.
I was proud of him.
It was mentioned at our pre-interview that you were awarded the Rose Sussman Award.
Yes.
For the sake of context for our listeners, can you explain the qualifications for earning this award?
It is one of the highest awards that's given for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's for the willingness to serve
mm-hmm.
and to come when called. I think it, as a matter of fact, I'll let you have this.
A Rose Sussman biographical summary. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read this out loud for the sake of the listeners. Helen just handed me a piece of paper that has the Rose Sussman biographical summary. Rose Sussman, in her association with the American Red Cross of Greater Indianapolis, was one of the most understanding volunteers of her time. In 1970, during World War I, Rose Sussman started as volunteer instructing in the making of surgical dressings. In 1919, she promoted and organized the first home nursing classes. She solicited blood donors in industrial plants from 1941 to 1945. From 1919 to 1947, she served in all Red Cross fund campaigns. She was chairman of the industrial division. In 1919, she was elected to the board of directors of the Indianapolis chapter, and she served on the executive committee. She was the only member at the time to have the distinction of being elected as an honorary member of the board of directors. In addition to her many ARC services, she was vitally interested in many community services. The many volunteer hours Mrs. Sussman gave were more significant because of the eagerness and enthusiasm she put into her work. No task was ever too large for her. Her devotion to and interest in her work was an inspiration to all who have had the privilege of working with her. This award, in the form of a jeweled pin and plaque, is the highest award given to a female volunteer in our chapter. The awardee will also have the name placed on an exhibit for 1 year at the chapter. This award was first given in 1958. So this is a very high award you received.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a great honor. What year were you awarded this? I think I saw it, but then I forgot.
96, I think.
96? So 1996 you were awarded
mm-hmm.
the Rose Sussman Award.
All right.
And then what specifically did you accomplish to be awarded this?
I think as it read, in being an instructor and serving on whatever committees you needed to serve on,
mm-hmm.
I think I did most of those, plus the trainings that you went through, but I didn't really realize I was doing that, but I guess as you work through with each of assignment that
mm-hmm.
was accredited to part of what she did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what she did, but it sums up to your willingness to serve,
mm-hmm.
to willingness to come when called, so that's what we did.
So then, with you serving as a volunteer for a total of 35 years, what lessons have you learned through volunteering with the organization?
Well, I think honesty, dependability, wisdom and knowledge play an important part in anything that you do. Always willing to learn more.
Mm-hmm. So then you were in a unique position where you were involved with the Red Cross of America as an employee and a volunteer. Was the nature of your involvement different as a volunteer? compared to being an employee?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And then what exactly was different about volunteering for the Red Cross as opposed to working for the Red Cross?
I think the responsibility is different in being responsible for teaching the class, conducting that sort of thing, and then being responsible for the structure of Red Cross and your duties
mm-hmm.
as being an employee
mm-hmm.
is different because it's a different delegation of activities at work.
And did you enjoy working or volunteering more?
Oh, my goodness. I enjoyed both, but I think because my husband and I got to share together those many years was a very important
mm-hmm.
part of my life. But I enjoyed both of them. It was okay.
Was it a drastic transition from being an employee to volunteering?
Not a great lot, but some in the delegation of your work and of your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference.
So then I wanted to ask you a few questions about specific events you partook in as a volunteer for the Red Cross. At our pre-interview, you briefly mentioned various events you volunteered for, and I would like to touch on those events and have you reflect on them.
Okay.
One of the events you mentioned you partook in as a volunteer for the American Red Cross was setting up various shelters throughout the years. What sorts of shelters did you help set up?
Okay.
Specifically, I remember you mentioning the state fair shelters.
Well, of course, we set up the state fair. They called it a hospital, but it was actually a first aid station,
mm-hmm.
and that was actually preparing the area for receiving any type of injuries or patients who needed help at that time. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it was just a cup of water, but there was always set up, and then there was always set up for in disasters. We had to be sure that we had every area covered. Is that what you
mm-hmm.
want?
Yeah.
Okay. Like we had to have a room for them to sleep. We had to have
mm-hmm.
room for the male, female, and the children and families. We had to provide eating areas
mm-hmm.
to be sure that was taken care of.
So it wasn't a shelter necessarily, it was a hospital at the state fair.
What they called it a hospital, but it was truly, but it was a first aid station actually too. But they had a first aid station too, but this was called a hospital, and there was a Dr. Smallhausen was the physician, and he brought in some of the student doctors, like the resident doctors and the from the hospitals, and was able to cover some of the time there with nurses and patients. We recruited the nurses to serve
mm-hmm.
as during the day and night. So.
And what years did you partake in the Indiana State Fair Red Cross Hospital?
God, it was forever.
Was it a yearly thing you did? Was
mm-hmm,
it a,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was,
yeah.
And you continued with it as a volunteer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, so your responsibilities were caring?
Not only we volunteer to serve certain hours, certain shifts,
mm-hmm.
and then be sure that all the rooms were equipped and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the data set up would have been the responsibility of maybe different nurses or just a group of Red Cross workers, such as first aid workers,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing.
So then what other jobs or activities did you partake in during your time as a Red Cross volunteer from 2008 to 2004? Or not 2008, from 1980 to 2004?
What other things did we do
mm-hmm.
during that time? Well, some of these you've already heard about.
Mm-hmm.
That was during our retirement,
mm-hmm.
mostly. And let's see, is there any other? I think I mentioned all of those. We've talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, I told you about that convention, though, mm-hmm. when we had the, okay, I think I said it.
Well, talk to me more about the convention, what all that went on there.
As I recall, mm-hmm. since I did the Claire Barton thing, I don't know a lot that went on because I was involved behind the screen. Mm-hmm. But I remember that was the same time as we were having the parade. I mean, we were involved all that same weekend. The convention was here in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
and so it was held in different. They would arrange for people to be able to tour, like the Children's Museum and mm-hmm. the different areas around town, which the people enjoyed that very much. And we sometimes would be hosts at maybe Children's Museum, or we might be at the zoo or wherever. But there'd be a Red Cross representative there to help people to find their way and to explain some things to them. So,
and then as a volunteer, you also had opportunities to use some of your nursing skills?
Well, most all the time, you sort of use all, not, I didn't have an emergency that per se, but you're always trying to help someone, be sure to prevent mm-hmm. any kind of an injury. And so that was very helpful.
So then we're about at an hour and a half. So what I'm going to do is ask you, like, I've got a page left of questions, about a page left. And I wanted to wrap up and ask you some questions to get you to reflect on your life and your time with the Red Cross. So my first question is, of all the organizations you could have selected to spend your time on, why did you pick the Red Cross and stay with them for so long?
They just found a place in my heart that I I couldn't resist, I guess. But I was well pleased with
mm-hmm.
with all their activities and personnel.
So then one of the interesting things about volunteering for a nonprofit is that volunteers both give and receive. I want to start with what you received. How would you assess the impact of all of those years of volunteer work on you?
I think the friendships I've made, the experiences I've had that I would never have had the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to have on my own, and that's been very valuable. You can take that with you wherever you want to go. And people are still remembering the class I held at Greenwood many years ago. I talked to a lady yesterday, and she was telling me about the class and how happy she was. I thought, that's a long time ago. But it's those kinds of things that are rewarding, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And then, did all of those years volunteering for the Red Cross change your worldviews or impact your worldviews?
I suppose to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you come in connection with other areas and you learn a lot of things mm-hmm. that otherwise you probably wouldn't have the opportunity to share.
And then what gives you the most satisfaction as you look back on your years as a Red Cross volunteer?
Oh my. The most I think the togetherness of Red Cross, and it's a family, and mm-hmm. I think you really get to appreciate all the things that happen for you and the opportunities that you had.
And then what did you learn from volunteering for the Red Cross?
Be patient. Be patient and persevere.
Did volunteering change your life in any significant ways?
I think so.
In what ways?
In feeling, having different feelings for people,
mm-hmm.
understanding people better, reaching out to them.
Mm-hmm.
It made us aware that they were there and they needed a smile or a gentle touch. So.
And then what did you take away from all of those years with the Red Cross?
A lot of friends mm-hmm. and a lot of loving, kindness and good experiences. I've treasured those.
Mm-hmm. So then, now let's talk about what you gave. As you look back on your years with the Red Cross, what are the most important things that you contributed?
Being willing to serve if I was needed.
Mm-hmm.
Better understanding, maybe.
No, you're fine. These are a lot of deep questions I'm asking you, so there's no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
This is just a conversation we're having.
I know.
Are there any times that stand out when you feel as though you made a real difference?
Oh, yes, very often.
Can you talk about one of those times?
Well, I think with one of the directors that was here, Juanita Hood,
mm-hmm.
I've always cherished her friendship, and there was another instructor, Thelma Jordan, and I enjoyed her.
Mm-hmm.
We learned so much together and did things together, maybe go to a convention or something, and that was quite rewarding to share with them. And,
mm-hmm.
But there were several people that I learned from and cherished their friendship. So, and I would probably not have met them had it not been for that.
And then what are the personal qualities that make a good Red Cross volunteer?
Well, I think just being able to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And your kind deeds sometimes are pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
And think well of people. Do not judge.
And how do you think you displayed those qualities to be a good Red Cross volunteer?
I hope I was able to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and try to understand them. But
did you acquire any new skills from your experience as a volunteer?
I think I was exposed to things that I would not have been exposed to. I don't know of any specific skill that I learned, but I've learned that I can try to do something and not give up, like,
mm-hmm.
I can't do that. But knowing that we can improvise and we can make it work,
mm-hmm.
is kind of what I learned.
Yeah. And then do you believe those skills benefited you later in life?
Yes, mm-hmm. sure.
So in the digital and internet age, the Red Cross utilizes mobile apps and the I'm Safe button to locate missing family members. Do you remember how people found their family members before cell phones and the internet during disasters?
Gosh. Of course, all we had was telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Or friend,
mm-hmm.
It could be possible that they could use a phone or could call someone or write to someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to realize that without what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I remember we could call. We did have phones, and sometimes a radio. Then we had that sort of communication in those years without all the.
So then, in your experience, what were the most important services that the Red Cross provided during your time as a volunteer and an employee?
What was that? Food, shelter, and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly food and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
We did some clothing, of course, but I think mostly it was food and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
To.
And then how has the Red Cross evolved over the years? And in what ways has it changed from when you started? Is there anything that sticks out to you?
It's just that with all the technology,
mm-hmm.
things have to change. I mean, it's just change is constant, and Red Cross has changed.
And then if there were one or two aspects of the Red Cross of Indiana you could change, what would those two things be?
I don't have a specific answer, I don't believe, for that, other than maybe some better communications.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure that people get the word and know,
mm-hmm.
know about Red Cross. So.
So then during your time with the Red Cross, what have you learned about why people volunteer their time and talent to the Red Cross?
Mainly they feel a need to serve, to do something for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Cross seems to be a good way to do that.
And then one of the other individuals we interviewed described his worldview and association with the Red Cross in terms such as, you've got to put back. And all it took was for me to spend some time to put back. As you think about your association with the Red Cross, what do you believe you have put back, in his words?
Well, perhaps my time,
mm-hmm.
my efforts, and the knowledge that I had,
mm-hmm.
to share. My ear.
So one of the other individuals we interviewed told us something very insightful. He said, some people leave the world and you never know they were here. They leave no fingerprints or anything. How have you left your fingerprints?
What was your last part of your question?
How have you left your fingerprints in the world?
Just by what I've done, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Through volunteering and...
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
assuming. Mm-hmm.
And then in what ways do you believe you left your fingerprints in the Red Cross?
By meeting people that I have known and
mm-hmm.
that they still know, or by even receiving a letter occasionally or a phone call from someone, been thinking about you. So I feel like they still remember.
So I've got another big question to ask you, and you can take a moment to think about it if you want. So the Red Cross of Indiana is celebrating its 100th anniversary. If you could tell someone 100 years in the future from now anything about the Red Cross of Indiana, what would it be?
Do it. Be a Red Cross volunteer.
And why should they?
Because of the rewards they receive,
mm-hmm.
from serving and from people.
And what were the rewards you received from it?
My rewards basically were the knowledge that I learned, that I gained, my friendships, the experiences I had,
mm-hmm.
all of them.
And then I have two final questions for you. Is there anything I didn't ask you that I should have? If not, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I don't think of anything.
And then, is there anything you would like to talk about that you did not get a chance to talk about?
Not today.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have. And on behalf of the American Red Cross of Indiana, Dr. Scarpino, and myself, I wanted to thank you for your time in assisting us with this oral history project. I greatly enjoyed interviewing you, and I wanted to thank you for contributing to this project and for your years of service with the Red Cross.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Well, with that, we are going to turn off the recordings.
Okay.
And...